It's dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to the blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God gather home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed. Oft our cherished plans have failed. Disappointments have prevailed. And we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. Trusting in the Lord and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us unaware. And our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best. We want in the saints of God gathered home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Are you able to keep up? Are you keeping up? Okay, just making sure, because I can't hear much this morning. Oh, that's why. Okay, let me get rid of this. I was thinking I was in here by myself. Now I can hear you. Okay. We'll slow this one down a little bit.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er give sight to the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For the Lord says, come, and I seek my home when He waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home.
Catch your breath, because that's all the fast ones we're going to do. So we're in good shape. I am so glad that I have the way of the cross to get to go home. Because, you know, it seems like every now and then, Houston's famous for just pulling tricks on you. Like, think last Sunday morning, 288 is closed. Here I am just whistling Dixie, you know, going the absolute legal limit speed limit. One day God is just going to go, gotcha, I'm just going to drop dead right here. Closed. Didn't tell you anything, no warning, or I think they have a warning up now, but today I actually took the toll and then came. But I'm just so glad now that I know without a doubt, no matter what the world hands me, the way of the cross is going to get me home. So I know through no matter what is going on in my week or my day, or sometimes on anybody else, hour by hour, I know if I just keep my eye on God and the cross, it's going to get me where I need to be. So that's, I want to personally thank everybody for yesterday. I tell you what, I was overwhelmed. I know the family was overwhelmed. And from the bottom of my heart as your pastor, I would put this church up against any church in this country for being the most loving and caring and giving group of people that I've ever met. And yeah, go ahead and email me and tell me all these things where I'm wrong. But I'm not, because I experienced it yesterday. And I experience it every day, but when you just give out, and this place was packed yesterday. That's why a lot of you are home in bed, because you're wore out from being here yesterday. I knew it was too good yesterday, because I'm thinking some of these people is going to think they went to church and don't need to come back today.
That's it, Candy.
Yeah.
Huh? I told her that we were driving up today.
Yeah, it was Candy's.
No, I told her. That's why
we didn't see as many cars.
Yeah, yeah, everybody got it yesterday.
We're not going to be here today.
Yeah. Hey guys, how are you? Sarah and Dylan, good to see you today. How's everybody? Good seeing you. But anyway, from the bottom of my heart, I think the food, the love, the care, the way you just take care of everybody. How are you? Good morning. How are you, young man? Good seeing you. Awesome seeing everybody. Everybody coming back home, and this is good. But I just appreciate your love, support, ladies, the way you did. The food was phenomenal. And most of all, the way you supported that by showing up and being here. That was very, very important to Karen and her family. And we just showed love like you always do. And I just want to know from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that. And we have a few announcements I want to share with you. And how are you, Victor?
Good, sir.
Well, hi, Sunshine. How are you? You was on TV last week, and now you just think you can come in and rule the world.
Rules the house.
Rules the house. Might as well rule them. Beautiful. Oh, we have a few announcements we want to share with you. Wednesday night, business meeting. So that will be online through the Zoom link that Esther sent out. It will not be on BBS radio or anything like that. It's not for the world to watch. It's our business meeting. But it'll be a Zoom link that went to you specifically. And it'll go out again this week and maybe Wednesday on the prayer list. That'll be 6:30 Wednesday night. We had a couple people that was on there this Wednesday night. And I thought it was too until Annie told me, great, it's not this week, it's next week. So anyway, but it is this coming Wednesday night. Come be part of that, and we will. I try to tell you all the business that we have, but that's where you're going to be able to hear all the financial numbers and how God's blessing us and things of that order. The building's going smooth out back. You know, it's hard to talk when those big brown eyes are looking at me. It's just hard to even keep my mind on this. And she doesn't have her shoes on today, or just bare feet. Can I show her off for just a second? Can I have you for just a second? Oh, she don't need her shoes. You don't need your shoes. You don't need your shoes. She want to say hi to everybody? Say hi. I know they're funny looking, aren't they? He's taking it all in. It doesn't get any better than this, folks. I just love this. Look here. Thank you. Wonderful. But the building's going good. They're going to be, you're going to start seeing major stuff in the next few weeks. I know I've said that for a while, but the rest of the plumbing's being done inside. Then they have a cleanup crew that's going to be coming through and taking care of all the stuff that's been laying there. Some of the big materials that we brought from the other church that's been out there for 3 years will be discarded and got rid of. That ended up not being workable. And then we're going to start seeing in a few weeks things starting to take place. I know Jack's working hard on getting the water line approved through the city, and they had the portal information with that. And we contacted CenterPoint, and that main new meter should be ran here hopefully this week. I'm kind of hoping for that, but you can't push those kind of people. They just do it at their own time. And I think, according to my report yesterday when I walked the building, we should be able to get the chairs out of storage in the next couple of weeks. So we'll bring them in. And then once the stage is built and all the stuff that's going to create dust is done, we'll unwrap the chairs and put the chairs out and get ready to have church. And we're not weeks away, but we're probably a months away. I hate to even give you a date in my mind, but I would love to have my 71st birthday celebration in there, and that's July 25th. I'll be 71 July 25th. But anyway, that's the date I'm kind of hoping for, around birthday time, to be up and running and everything going. I really believe. If not, I'm not going to make it to my birthday, I know. But, speaking of birthdays, Gene, it's today your birthday, and you're 29. 82 years old. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gene. Happy birthday to you. Awesome. 82 years. Fantastic. Now, Robert told me you was a lot younger than that.
That number of years
we've
been happy, about
29. I know. And Archie, when's yours?
Tuesday.
And how old are you going to be, Archie?
87.
Ooh. Happy birthday to Archie. Wonderful. It's amazing when you start doing birthdays, people that have, I'm so bad at that. I miss my own kid's birthday. It's only hers. Yeah. I want to forget mine, but it keeps being reminded. Okay. Anyway, let's sing one more song, and then we'll have the ushers come forward, and we'll take up the morning offering. Any questions on the building? I even hate to ask that, but any questions on the building? Because if you can't make it at the church conference, that's about the report that I have on it for Wednesday night. There won't be any more details than what I know now. And what I know, you know. So. But I know they're working hard out there. Okay. Don't say I didn't ask you. All right. I like this one. Oh, soul, are you wearied and troubled? If you are, same thing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness to see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life for abundance. Probably the best line ever written in this song is that, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That just doesn't get any better than that. That's just good stuff. Things of this world will grow dim as the light from Him shines on us. That's just, there's a lot of meat in that one. Gene, that's one of your, you like that one, yeah. All right. I thought you did. If we could have the ushers come forward. And how's things going back there, guys? Everything going well? Do I look 20 pounds lighter and 10 years younger? No. Something like that. Thank you, Curtis. You just lost a little bit of inheritance. Gwen, you going to do it all by yourself? Hey, you're capable. You're a good man. Oh, here comes some help. Here comes Richard. How are you?
As good as could be expected.
As good as could be expected. I understand. Little horse today. I was going to ask you to pray. Are you too hoarse to pray? God can hear you. That's all that matters. Okay? So lift this up in a word of prayer. Let's pray.
Lord, we come to do you today with grateful hearts for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings you shower upon us each day of our lives. Lord, we pray that you are with us as we proceed to the completion of our new church building, that it serves you well over the coming years. And Lord, may this congregation grow and be blessed forever in this church. Lord, we ask that you regard this country, bring it back to its former glory, Lord, and let our country and these people many years of happy living, peace, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Your meaning, and this one, I really want you to hear the words while you sing them and listen, because the Savior is waiting.
to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? Nothing in this world to keep you apart. And what is just an imitation song. This is just to get people saved. I think if you remember, there's a church in Revelation that got a letter that said, "I stand on the outside of the door knocking." And it was to the church. That's what I want you to hear when you hear the time.
Some of you are going, no, not really, Greg. Now that you mention it, we really probably don't. But just in case, I got the file. I don't think we'll get through this, but I really want to encourage. For during this series, or whatever you want to call it, bring some paper, notes, journals, whatever, and jot some things down, because this is what my belief is on, and we're going to get really more specific, church-wise, a few weeks into it, but my vision. But it's not my vision. I think it's what God has given the vision of His opinion of what we need to be as a church. And as we go in, and I'm starting to wind down series to enter into the building, I want us to go in with a clear, united vision of that you're on board or that you're not, to be right honest, because we really want people on board. I really believe that God can take anybody and transform them into what He has in mind for a church family. And we will be celebrating, and I didn't know it was this far down, but 105 years as a church come January. And we will be celebrating that in the new building. And 105 years. And I want to let you know, there's a lot of history. And we're going to try to have that history splattered around that new building to where people can, that don't know anything about Park Place Baptist, where we came from, they can go up to a wall and literally read our history from the beginning of 105 years ago all the way up to when we're all out here at the picnic tables. There's a picture over here. I was standing up on one of the picnic tables or something, and Mr. Perkins was right down there, and all the people that's in that picture, and up to the school being brought in. So we're going to kind of look at all those 105 years and try to divide them up into momentous times so we never forget our history. I don't want, folks, the reason we are what we are today has nothing to do with me. It has to do with all those generations before that did all the work, that decided 105, 104 and a half years ago that they were going to start this little church in somebody's house, on somebody's street, where all that history will be read, will be celebrated, to start Park Place Baptist Church. Because God had in mind what kind of impact we're going to have in the future years here, all the way back then. Just like God already knows what He has in mind for you. You may think, I don't know if you do or not, but you may think, I'm just sitting here just because I chose to be here and I just decided to get out of bed and come in. Thanks for playing, but you are part of a greater plan, a greater blueprint. God already has you in mind. He brought you here this day, that year, at that time, to be part of this body, to help us to get exactly what God's vision is to be completed. And that's what I love about this. I didn't decide to be pastor. You didn't decide, even though Gene, you was on that pastor selection committee. Jack, you was on that pastor. You probably would have thought by now, I wish I voted no. But anyway, you was on that committee. And all those other people that are on that committee. Gilbert, you were on that. I remember, right? Jesse and Shirley. Kenny was on that. I remember those days. And if you really thought you decided. No. The only reason I'm pastor of this church right now for this time frame, and it may end next week, I don't know. God decided this is what He wanted for this time. Just to get through a period of time. And you say, well, Greg, what happens if you get hit by a streetcar? We don't have streetcars. I just throw that out there. So you don't know, is that really going to happen? We don't have streetcars in Pearland. But hit by a streetcar, that's going to be the worst thing possible. God already knows who the next guy is in line. He already knows that. So don't get all excited. We just want to be part of what he has in store for us and be obedient enough to work through the plan. That's why there's still days. That's why you're still around. That's why the years are still there. Because some of you get to that age and you think, why is God done with me? Oh, no. Not at all. He has a purpose. He has a vision for you. And the neat thing about it is that vision fits in so perfectly in a picture. And to be honest with you, I hate to even mention it. But if you think this building is where we're going to have church for the next 25 years, you're crazy. That's going to become a gym for the kids. And we're going to have another church building that's going to hold the amount of people that you need to hold that we're going to be able to reach. I really believe we're going to own the gas station. We're going to own the tattoo parlor. We're going to own that strip mall up here. I believe it. Let's keep the tattoo parlor in there just in case we want to brand some of you. But anyway, I really believe God has, and you're all saying, oh, Greg, you're so goofy. No, you tell God that his plans are too big. And let's just limit it to what I want, I need, and I feel comfortable with. I'm not willing to do that. I want to take it to the next level, to the max of what he has. I want to be able to have a school and a high school that goes from birth all the way through high school. And to be honest with you, I want to have a college in here where we can actually get some religious education. I want all of that. And I think God has a place, and he's looking for a people that will say, okay, God, you got us here. Now what? And I promise you, when we're done, this is what you're going to want to do. We're all going to have that. We're going to have, Eric, you can bring your trumpets and stuff. You can play the trumpet, right? You go work up something for, you know, kind of Egyptian, Israelites going into, not Egyptian, but Israelites going into the promised land type of thing. Work up a little tune for me. Because I know you can blow that thing unbelievable. I've been on your website. Impressive. So when we go in there and you finish that note and you sit down and you go, oh, done. I'm going to be in your face and go, no, we're not even close. Get up. Let's get started now. Because that's what he has in store for us. He has such a big vision that he's going to take us to the next level. This is only the beginning. You thought you were done when we got the skee ball machines out of here and all I've said slot machines, but to my knowledge, I didn't see any slot machines. But all the pinball machines, that you thought just when we got the chairs in here, we're done. No. Just when we get in there and we sit down, we're not done. It's just the beginning. And I want to see that and show you that in this today. And I'm going to get through the first page or two. I already know because I'm getting windy. That he not only does it with the group of people, but as you write this down, I want you to see how he does it with individual people. Because just when you think you're as close to God as what you are supposed to be, and you go, whoo, I made it. God goes, oh, great. You're not even close to making it. Are you kidding? And there's a verse that I want to throw out because I do want to get to Scripture today. In Acts 26:19. There's a little story. And I want you to see how this works. Because this is about Paul. A terrorist. Paul, a religious terrorist before God got a hold of him. He was involved in finding Christians. You believe in God? You believe in Jesus? You're dead. So all these things that we see online when they pull out these machetes and cut their heads off, that was Paul in the biblical days. I want you to see that, how that works. And he explains how Jesus transforms him from being a terrorist from murdering Christians to becoming one of the most well-known, successful Christian missionaries. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big U-turn. And I think some of you go, well, he's not going to be able to use me. I've done too much bad. Look what he did to Paul. And he details the vision in his life that Jesus gave him. And he concludes that in Acts 26, verse 19. And he says, I hope you're there. We're not going to stay there, but we're just this one verse. So, King Agrippa, that's the guy that Paul's talking to. I have not been disobedient to the vision God gave me. Have you? The vision that God's given you, the Message version puts this verse like this. What else could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I had to obey it. I want you to catch the vision. I don't know. And it may be that some of you have been here too long because you're used to it. Maybe not. But did you feel the Spirit of God yesterday in an unbelievable way? It was like I was sitting there in a funeral saying, this is the best church service I've ever experienced in a long time. And it's because God just landed amongst us. I feel that right now. Try it. No, don't try it. But I guarantee you, if you go to other churches and sit there, you don't get this. It's not there. It's formatted. It's a show. It's religion. And it's not the love and the acceptance that we have for each other and the caring. Folks, we have something so special. And the kicker of it is when I leave here every Sunday morning, just about every Sunday morning, every now and then I'm kicking myself because I just did a terrible job. That's about every other Sunday when I don't think I did a good job. But it's not my job anyway, just to deliver God's word. He'll take care of the rest. Then I think we have such a message for our community that is second to none. There's people out there that need the hope that we have through Jesus Christ in this place. That's what I want this church to be. I want this church to be the one place that's on everybody's mind in this community that when something bad happens to a person, they can say, call Faith Springs. They have somebody there that'll be able to help. They have somebody there to be able to pray with that person. They have somebody there to be able to take care of them. They have somebody. They are the church that reaches out to the ones that are spiritually, emotionally, and worldly dying in a community. And they need Christians to just surround them and not condemn them, not to point at them, not to say how goofy they are and how wrong and how much sin they got involved in, but say, how can we help you? And we're going to clean you up and we're going to fix you up and we're going to show you the way. Because that's what Jesus did. As he was walking down through all those dirt roads in all of those towns, he was just being God in the flesh. You hurting? Let me be with you. Have no place to go? Let me help you out. You have no hope? We have a class on that. You're hurting because you lost your husband or your wife or your daughter or son or whatever it is. We have a group for that. And to be that kind of church that takes somebody like Paul that was so far in left field from what normalcy was and say, we're not going to throw you out with the bathwater. We're going to pray for you and then thank God for what you're going to be when He gets a hold of you and cleans you up. It's not our job to clean them up. That's the problem with churches. That's the problem with churches. They stand on their front steps with all the stained glass windows behind them and watch people come in and go, okay, you can come in. You need to go home and take a bath. But you can come in. Up, go comb your hair, then you can. Are you kidding? Jesus would have said, tell you what, let all those go on in there. All the dirty ones, we'll have church outside in the lawn. Have a seat. Let me tell you about the real love of God. Or you would have said, let me really blow everybody out of the water. All those ones that wasn't welcomed, come on in. We got front row seats just for you. And their smell may get on the nerves of all those religious people that's sitting behind them. That's the vision that I have for us. I have a vision of every week somebody standing up and testifying, I was this way until I walked into this place and God transformed my life. And what that does is it bleeds over into other people. It bleeds over in other families. It bleeds over in all those people. The people, Gordon, like that your son's dealing with up there in Tennessee. That I've been checking on. He's going to be on the show. I really hope he does. Because the stuff that they do in their rehab centers up there is unbelievable. The people that are in the gutters that had no place to go now is being the counselors and the therapists in these places helping others. That's what it's all about, folks. And you're saying, hey, wait, what are you talking about? I'm talking about any kind of walk that has fallen. I'm talking about just people that can't keep their mouth shut. I'm talking about people that just lie all the time. I'm talking about drug users. I'm talking about alcoholics. I'm talking about people that have been abused and hurt. Anybody that's on any of those ranges, we are the place where they can come and say, hey, we are doing God's vision. Do you expect me to really do anything more or less? No. I'm going to use Paul's words. What else did you expect me to do? To follow God's vision. And that's what I want. Because it's clear in Proverbs, just in case you think I'm goofy, Proverbs 29:18, the one that you all know, where there is no vision, what?
People perish.
The people perish. What happens with perishable goods? They start stinking. They start dying. They start decaying. Folks, Pearland is filled with dying and decaying churches that may have huge budgets, but the vision's gone. Church is the only business that could go out of business for years and never close their doors because they don't know any different. I don't want to be that. I want to be a church that reaches out. And we're always there for people that are hurting. Not just for y'all to come and just get comfortable, but for those that are comfortable to get really uncomfortable, but to get into the grace with God. Now, I know I only got a few minutes, but I want to do this real quick, and I'll just kind of read this for you. If you don't have a good vision, you ever been, I won't point fingers today, but have you ever been to the eye doctor and you had your eyes dilated and you're trying to make it home? There's a great I Love Lucy on that. Remember that one, Curtis? There's a great I Love Lucy on that one.
I've probably been
You just hope you make it home without running over anything. An unclear vision in the Christian walk will do three things in your life. Now, I want you to see these three, and then I'm just going to throw those out, and we'll be done. We'll finish the rest of this next week. The first thing it does is an unclear vision leads to indecision. You can't make up your mind. Indecisions. James 1:8. Double-minded people can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything that they do. Been there, done that? Been involved in that? You stand up in front of the church one day and say, God has called me to this. And then a month later, God changed his mind and you're no longer doing that. Double-minded. Whichever way the wind's blowing, oh, if it feels good, I'll do it. It doesn't work. And no vision will keep us from clarity. No vision causes indecision in our lives. And it will in your life, too. That's so important. Second, I've only got two more and I'm done. An unclear vision. In church, I will not be involved in this. And thank goodness, Annie reminded me, I guess I'm getting ready to go on my 10th year anniversary here. 10 years. I didn't think you could put up with me for 6 months. 10 years. We've never had this, but an unclear vision will cause this. It leads to division. An unclear vision leads to indecision. An unclear vision leads to division. It causes people to go in different directions, in different ways. That's why, before we move on any further, I want to really give to you not what I think is best, but what I feel God's vision is for us. Folks, I'm not trying to be the high and mighty, but isn't that my purpose?
Yes.
My purpose is to try to get from God what we're supposed to do. And get you all to be involved in that and buy into it. And you buy into it, not with your wallets, but with your feet. That's how you buy into it. I will be committed to that. I'll do that. I'll take care of that. I'll teach that Sunday school. And we can't put all these people in all these new classes and everybody go, I'll do that. And then the next week, you're not there. We can't do that. It will start causing division. So that's what we want. We want to try to get, okay, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? In Proverbs 28:2, it says, a country that is in chaos. No, let me start it over because this is so appropriate for us today. Proverbs 28:2, when a country is in chaos, everybody has a plan to fix it. We need to send that to Washington right now. Everybody has the plan. I probably promise you, not one of them. I may be wrong, so don't email me. Not one of them been on their knees saying, God, what's your plan for our country right now? I think that's so important. An unclear vision leads to division. And when everybody goes off into different paths, everybody's heading in different directions, we'll never get there. And that's why we have all these ministries that will start up. Does it fit within the vision? Does it fit within the overall direction that God's calling us? Because we can't be everything to everybody. This church isn't going to do that. I want to be the hospital for the sick.
Yes.
That's what you want it to be. We need to be the hospital for the sick, that the spiritual people just can't make it another day. Where can I go get help? Well, don't go. Come to us. Spiritual sickness. We won't give you, we'll give you a pill, but it'll be the gospel. Get that? You get that? Gossip up on it. One more and I'm done. I still got a minute or two. And then I got all these other pages for next week. Look at all this. This just keeps on going. The third thing that happens when you don't have a clear vision for your life, not only indecision, not only division, but collision. Collision. You will clash. There's not a clear direction for your life. It's inevitable. At some point in your life, you're going to crash into some kind of dead end. Oh, this could be tweetable. If you don't have a clear vision, it's like letting Tesla drive your spiritual life. Go ahead and trust it. Go ahead and trust it. And one day, you will come up near to the rear end of a semi and bam. A dead end wall, brick wall, and bam. Because it cannot be controlled by something out there. Your life has to be controlled by God. And if you don't have that vision, then what in the world and how in the world do you know where you're going? How do you know what your next move is going to be? How do you know which turn to even make? What decision to even decide on? And the Bible warns us of the damage of not following God's vision in our lives. And I think I'll end with this one. 1 Timothy 1:19. Some people have refused to let their faith guide their conscience. And their faith has been destroyed like a wrecked ship. All kinds of different versions on that, but look it up in yours sometime when you get home. 1 Timothy 1:19. There's a lot of people that don't have a vision. There's a lot of churches that are out there that don't have a direction. Faith Springs, I don't want this church to be part of that. I don't want to be your pastor if I have to just get us through another Sunday. Hopefully Jack will get enough money this week to keep it going. I don't want that. I've been involved in that kind of stuff. I don't want to have to call Luann on Monday and go, oh, do whatever you can to make more money. Come on. Come on. No. What they do is the same ministry that what we have because they are part of us. When they have a family that's hurting, they'll call me and say, are you okay with this? Going and giving and letting them, whatever, go for it. I trust you. Go for it. Give until it hurts. Reach out to families that need somebody to surround them in those hard times. How many's ever been there? I've been there. How many's ever been there where you just didn't have it? And when a parent comes in, they go, I don't know if I can pay for this or not. Then I want our church to go, oh, well, get back in your car and take the kid home. No. You drop them off. We'll work out something. That's the kind of heart that I want you guys to have. That's the kind of heart that I want us to have. But in reality, you guys are us. That's what I love about it. We're on the same page. And that's what I want every ministry to be all about. Is we're all on the same page. Where we can literally say, hey, before I call Pastor Greg and tell him what I'm doing, does that fall within the vision that he's said that God has for us? It's kind of like in the olden days. I don't know if y'all had this or not. I had a curfew. Had to be home by midnight. And before I had called Dad and said, I wonder if I can stay out till 1. I would talk myself out of it. Because I knew what his answer would be. So, if you want to start something that you know doesn't fit into our vision, then don't call to get permission to do it anyway. Because it's worthless. It'd be like me calling Dad. Hey, can I stay out till 1 o'clock tonight? Son, you know the rules. No. the way it is with God's vision. And if you have this personally, it can work that strongly in your walk. God, should I go into the Dewdrop Inn tonight and have a few? I'm not for sure I'd make that call to God today. All you have to do is line it up. Does it fall within the vision that I've called you to be? The problem is, we're trying to leave what God wants us to do so we can just get enough to get into heaven. And maybe a good front row seat. But still live like the world. And not it affect my entrance. But it does. It affects your relationship while you're here. I'm going to stop there because I could just keep going. I'm in one of those moods where I don't want to shut up. Let's close tonight. Not tonight, but it's going to be tonight if I keep preaching. That's like the guy that that left about 20 minutes into the sermon. And he just kept going. He left, came back, left, came back. And the preacher was just windy as all get out, kind of like I am today. And finally, I don't know, he went for an hour or two. And he got up and left. And he went out to the front door. The preacher said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get a haircut." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I didn't need one when I got here." Sometimes I feel like I preach that. But we're going to have our dismissal with being. People need. God's Word, look up some of these scriptures and start asking Him, "Lord, what's your vision for me? What's your vision for my involvement with those crazy people on O'Day Road? Do you have a vision for me being there? Because at the end of this, I'm going to ask you all to be a part of this. And I don't think I want to be outside the vision of what God has for me. But if He's called you to be part of it, I want you to be proud as punch and say, 'Yeah, I want to be part of that kind of people, of that kind of place where God moves amongst those people. I want to be part of that.'" Lord, we just come to you and I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, that wasn't in my notes today, but it must have been in yours. And I ask, Lord, that you let the Holy Spirit now till up some of the soil that's in our hearts and our lives. And may, Lord, today's word make us think that we weren't just entertained or amused today, but it makes us think, what part do I play in that? Do you want me to be a part of that? And how? And Lord, then let all of us ask you the questions. And then all of us hush and listen. And listen. Because at that point, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim and quiet in the light of you and your word and your response. Thank you for this church and for this family. Bless us. May you, we brought a smile to your face today. In Jesus' blessed name we pray it. Amen. 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 Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for being online with us today. Join us right here next week, 10 a.m., next Sunday morning. God bless. Have an awesome week.